Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Dato Seko is a genre-fluid singer-songwriter-performer from Botswana. She has a degree in live performance from AFTA, and like many legendary performers, made her debut performance in her formative years amongst a family of talented singers. Dato thrives not on duality, but more on the triple threat. She is a dynamic performer on the theatrical stage, a talented visual artist and vocalist of note. Having recently released her debut EP titled Grace Effect, which features major artists like Mpho Sabina and Matt Jessica, the singer prides herself on one of the major milestones like topping the Apple Music Alternative Charts. She goes on to top music charts among local radio stations while being featured in international magazines like The Native. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Dato Seko. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Hi, how are you? Let me just ask that first. But I'm good. I'm good. I'm currently in Botswana. Just living life.
Okay, let's rewind. At what age did you think, cool, you want to be in the music or entertainment world, creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are currently?
I think I started singing at a really young age. But it has always been a really good hobby of mine. I never really thought it would transform into like a career path, you know, but it did. I always say it has always been a calling that I have always been running from. But I think I remember quite well, it was 2016 where I was like, this could actually be something real. So that's where it all began.
And what were the next steps?
I started making covers online. I found out that social media is a really powerful tool if you use it right. So I started putting out covers online and I was very consistent with it and they started getting traction and yeah, now here we are.
From 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
It really depends, but it's mainly driven by my encounters with people. So sometimes it could take 9 minutes for me to come up with like a song, a melody, everything. Sometimes it could take days because you try to find the right words to say. But it just depends on how fast I want to get the song out of my head. Because sometimes I sit with my work for too long, or sometimes I just put it out there quickly.
Thank you. That's an interesting process. But now, do you create by yourself or do you collaborate with others?
Currently, I've been collaborating with others, but mostly I do most of the skeleton alone. And then I sit with my team. It's a team of amazing, amazing artists. And we just kind of see a way in which we could probably fix what I already have.
I'm loving the new collaboration with Easy Freak. So tell us, how did that project come to be?
I met them through a friend, through a mutual. I remember I was sitting with a friend of mine and I was telling her how much I really love Easy Freak and I really love their music and it's the kind of music that I've always wanted to jump on. And she said, that's crazy because I know them. And she hooked us up. She was just like, see how you guys could work on something. If it gels, it gels. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But just give it a try. And we did that. Went over to that studio. The energy was just perfect. And we started creating from scratch because we didn't have an idea or what we were going to do. But we just bounced off ideas. And yeah, then we came out with the song.
Is this the first time you're collaborating with another artist?
It's not my first time. It's my first time collaborating with like a pop funk artist.
Okay.
Because most of the time I lean towards more of my genre. But this was a more, you know, out of my comfort zone.
Ooh, pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones. That's not an easy task in any situation. So how did you deal with that?
I think music is literature. And I think if creativity is creativity, it has no boundaries. So as a creative, you shouldn't limit yourself, and that's what I believe. I'm very open when it comes to music. If I feel it, if the energy's right, regardless of the genre, I will be open to doing it. So I was very much open to stepping into a new world.
Okay, so when you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and enjoy for what it is, or is your technical creative brain unpacking what you're listening to?
It depends on how I'm feeling, but I do this thing called people with ADHD do this. It's called stimming. If I come across a song, I will listen to it 1,000 times over and over and over. And the first 500 times is probably just me, just marinating in the greatness of creativity. And then the other 500, I'm like, this is a really good arrangement. This is a really good production. Like, I get very technical with it. So, yeah.
I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people receive and interpret information. There's a section around processing information, and people have a dominant one, a secondary, and a tertiary one. Now, dominance means that you'll be in it for most of the day, secondary for a little bit of the day, and tertiary, maybe half an hour, if at all. Now, there are three skills, namely visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Now, visual people create pictures around what they're receiving or the information they're getting. Auditory people, it's around the words and sentences. So they understand the word, they put it into a sentence, they understand the sentence, put it into a paragraph. Kinesthetic, again, that word kinesthetic, they interpret information through the body language, their energy, the tone of voice, all those sort of elements around the information. Now, focusing specifically on music, when you're listening to music, of your own or by other artists, when you're listening to the song or songs, are you creating pictures when listening to them? Is it about hearing the words, or is it about the energy, feeling, and emotion that you're getting?
All three.
All
All
three.
three. Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah.
And what do you enjoy about performing live?
I think the authenticity that comes with it, and the ability to improvise on the spot. Because sometimes you listen to the song on radio and it's very verse chorus, like it's very, formal. And when you perform it live, you give it room to be something else. So it's not just the song, but it's an experience for anybody who's coming to listen or who's coming to watch. And you can do whatever you feel like you need to do in that moment for the song to come to life. So I think that's what I love about live music. And also people can also see how much of a, like, I think I'm a vocal powerhouse, and people only experience it live. Because I feel like studio sometimes doesn't do artists justice. So a live experience is always better.
So I'm that guy that's normally standing up right in front, dancing, jamming, doing my thing. I'll take my phone out and take a couple of videos, a couple of photos, and I'll put it away. I notice that the people around me, they oftentimes 70, 80%, 90% of the time videoing, posting, tweeting, photoing. From your perspective, being on the stage and seeing a bunch of phones, do you feel that takes away from the energy of the interaction with the audience and from them being in the moment? Or it's just where society is at this stage.
I think for some people it's more about leaving with the experience, and for some people it's about being in the moment and taking it all in as it comes. And I think both ways are okay. Some people want to watch something over and over and over again and remind themselves of a time where they probably felt the most happiest, the most seen, the most heard, the most loved. So whatever works for people works for people. I personally believe in just standing there and staring for hours and hours, just taking it all in.
So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the journey of the unpacking the booklet, the listening from song 1 to 10 or 15. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls are making a massive comeback. Vinyls alone last year in the UK, 5.9 million copies sold, the biggest since 1990. And cassettes and CDs are also on an upward trajectory. But we've also got these streaming platforms whereby people consume music on. What is your observation and perception of the landscape at the moment?
I think more people are leaning towards the streaming platforms because they make it easier, because everybody's always on their phone or their gadget or in the car. So it's easier to access music that way. But I still very much believe in CDs. I still very much believe in going into a shop and buying like a really good CD, and collecting vinyls as well. We still need to bring that back. We need to figure out a way to just bring that back. Like catalogs, we need like proper CD covers, CD sleeves. Like we need all of that.
So I had an interesting experience last year. I was living overseas and came back and I wanted to buy a CD player to listen to all my CDs on. And everyone said to me, there's no way you're going to be able to find a CD player anywhere. So I went on to Takealot. For the overseas listeners, this is similar to Amazon, but slightly different. I went on to the Takealot platform and there were hundreds of options and I had to narrow it down and narrow it down. And eventually I got my CD player, which I was very excited about. Another interesting point that I noted is that listening to CDs on a CD player, the sound quality is so amazing. It's like listening to music in a stadium full of sound, surround sound. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's always better.
What is next? What's happening short term and long term?
More collaborations. We're trying to work with as many people as we possibly can. I think music is a beautiful thing to share with everyone across, you know, the continent, and outside really of the continent, just to make more music with more people, work on a body of art. So an album, but yeah, more music, more collaborations, more visuals, more live performances, all of that.
Lovely. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
It would be Denim by Gatton. It would be Annie Tracy. What is the song? I Wonder How You Feel Now. It would be Jordan Muzi, Khae. It would be Mphosibina, No Evil. It would be Easy Freak, Be Mine.
Nice mix. I like it. Some I need to add to mine, so thank you for reminding me of them. What are your perceptions of social media?
If used right, it's very powerful. I think sometimes we just get way ahead of ourselves. You know, we get too excited. But I think it's a beautiful platform to use properly. I'm a product of what social media could do for someone. And I feel like we should use it more for businesses, for our talents, and be very consistent with it and have your own niche, you know, and yeah, keep it at that.
When you started posting on social media, did you think at that time that I want to be a result of the platform and the world and putting stuff out there? Or was it just having fun at that time?
It was more of a fun thing.
Okay.
It was more of a fun thing. I think for so long I was holding back on just singing or people knowing I could sing. But then I was just like, let's just have fun with it. And then it just became like an entertaining thing for people where they were like, nah, actually, you should do more of this.
So you mentioned the covers that you started posting on social media in the beginning. How did you choose which songs to cover?
I chose the songs that I really liked. Yeah, so it was mostly songs that I really liked and I repeated on my phone over and over. And yeah, songs that I knew word for word. So that's what I went with.
Were you writing and creating original songs at that time or did that only start later?
I only wrote music later, okay. But at the time I was just doing covers. And then I learned how to write through a friend of mine called Jordan Muzi, amazing writer. We became friends and he was more of a writer. And we started working together for years. And yeah, he kind of sort of taught me how to put words together and make it make sense.
pre to learning how to write songs, was this a skill that you knew that you'd be able to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I enjoy just writing, but not necessarily for music, but just
Okay.
for the sake. Yeah.
Okay, understood.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say nothing is out of reach. Whatever it is that you think you want to do, that whatever it is that you believe in so much, whatever it is that you wake up every day thinking about, you can achieve it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.